You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Chapter 1. Whispers in the Ale. The world was a circle of sticky tables and the smell of spilled ale. A haze of smoke clung to the low, dark beams of the tavern ceiling, catching the light from the fire in a lazy, drifting dance. For Arya, this was safety. It was numbness. She moved through the noise, a ghost in a worn apron, her hands sure and steady as she wiped down a countertop, her eyes kept carefully down. Because looking up meant meeting someone's gaze. It meant being seen. Following the familiar path from the bar to the hearth, she collected empty mugs, the clatter of ceramic a welcome distraction. The patrons of the Black Moon Pack were loud tonight, their laughter sharp and their arguments louder. They talked of pack business, of hunting patrols, and of the unnatural storm gathering over the mountains. A storm that felt angry. Arya didn't need to look outside. She could feel the pressure of it in her bones, a deep ache that mirrored the one she carried in her chest. She worked because the exhaustion kept the memories at bay. She served because it was the one thing no one could take from her. A big hand suddenly covered hers on the table, stopping her. "Another round, little dove?" a burly shifter slurred, his smile showing too many teeth. Arya's breath hitched. Her muscles went rigid. "Don't react. Don't show them you're breakable." His touch was like a spark on dry tinder, threatening to burn through the careful walls she'd built around herself. For a moment, the memory of another hand, another voice, another promise. It flashed behind her eyes, hot and humiliating. He had called her weak, useless, a broken thing not worth keeping. Had she ever really fought back? With a careful twist, she pulled her hand away. Her voice, when it came, was ice. "Of course, Bram." No smile, no warmth. Just a flat, empty response that offered nothing. She would not be a dove. She would not be anything soft enough to crush. Consequently, Bram's smile faltered, his eyes clouding with confusion before he turned back to his friends. The moment passed. Arya's heart hammered against her ribs, a frantic bird trapped in a cage of her own making. She hated that feeling, the weakness, the fear, the shame that rose like bile in her throat. She was surviving, but was she truly living? She moved back toward the bar, the whispers of the storm outside growing louder, a perfect match for the chaos she felt inside. The wind began to howl, a low, mournful sound that seemed to call her name. It was more than just a storm, she realized. It was a promise of change, or maybe it was a threat. She finished her shift as the first drops of rain began to hit the tavern's windows, each one a tiny fist against the glass. The patrons started to leave, their boisterous goodbyes swallowed by the rising wind. Arya wrapped her thin cloak around her shoulders, the scent of rain and wet earth already thick in the air. Instead of heading for her small, lonely cottage on the edge of the territory, a different path called to her. A quiet place, a place of memory and sorrow. The storm was coming, but she had to see her first. The pull was undeniable, a string tied to her soul leading her into the darkening woods where the wild roses grew over a place of rest. Chapter 2. Where the wild roses grow the forest floor, usually soft with last year's leaves, was already turning to slick mud under her worn boots. Rain plastered strands of dark hair to her cheeks, cold and clinging. Above, the sky was a bruised purple, torn open every few moments by a silent, brilliant flash of lightning. Then the thunder would answer, a low, gut-deep rumble that shook the very ground. Her old horse, Rowan, trembled beside her, his unease a living thing she could feel through the reins, But Arya pushed onward, deeper into the woods, because this place held the only real piece of her heart. Her mother's grave was marked by a simple stone, tucked away in a small clearing where the wild roses fought for their place among the ancient oaks. Even now, a few stubborn blossoms held on, their pink petals dark with rain. Arya knelt, her knees sinking into the damp earth, and traced the carved name. Alara. A name that tasted of lullabies and warm soup, and a strength Arya felt she could never possess. It was here, in this silence, that the past felt closest. It was here she could almost believe she wasn't completely alone. Before her mother had gotten sick, her father had been their son. He was a man with a booming laugh and eyes that promised forever. He'd promised Arya he'd teach her to track. He'd promised her mother a life of peace. He promised. And then he was gone. He left without a word, vanished like a morning mist, leaving behind a hole that nothing could ever fill. Why? Was it the sickness? Was it them? Was she not enough to make him stay? That wound had scabbed over, only to be ripped open again years later by Liam, her fated mate, the one the moon itself had chosen for her. He'd taken one look at her, at the hope blooming in her chest, and rejected her. Publicly. In front of the entire pack. He'd declared her unworthy, her bloodline too weak without a strong father figure. He'd said it with a casual cruelty that had shattered her into a thousand pieces. It was history repeating itself, a terrible echo confirming her deepest fear. She was not worth staying for. As if the heavens heard her thoughts, a brilliant fork of lightning struck a nearby tree, the crack deafening. The air smelled of ozone and fire. Rowan screamed, a high, terrified sound. He reared back, his eyes wide with panic. The reins were ripped from her hands, burning her palms. "Rowan, no!" she cried out. But he was lost to his fear. He bolted, disappearing into the thrashing trees in the deepening gloom, leaving her, just like everyone else. A fresh wave of rain crashed down, no longer just drops, but a solid sheet of water that stole her breath. She was alone, stranded. The storm she had felt in her bones was finally here, and it was a monster. She scrambled to her feet, the cold seeping through her clothes, through her skin, and into her very soul. There was no going back to the tavern. There was nowhere to go at all. For the first time in a long time, the numbness was gone, replaced by a sharp, terrifying clarity. She had to move, had to find shelter, because a dark, primal part of her knew this was no ordinary storm, and surviving it would take everything she had left. Chapter 3. The stranger in the flood panic was a clawed thing, ripping through the careful calm area had worn like armor. The forest, once her sanctuary, had become a nightmare of lashing branches and roaring wind. The path was gone, swallowed by the darkness. Every direction looked the same, a terrifying wall of black and gray. Rain fell so hard it stung her skin, a thousand icy needles trying to drive her into the ground. She stumbled forward, her hands outstretched, searching for something solid, something real. The little creek she'd crossed an hour ago? It was now a monster. A churning, brown river filled with debris, its roar a hungry sound. There was no way across. She turned, desperate, looking for higher ground, but the water was everywhere. It swirled around her ankles, shockingly cold and impossibly fast. It was rising. She could feel the pull of the current, a greedy hand tugging at her clothes, trying to drag her down. Fear was a taste in her mouth, metallic and sharp. She had to survive. She had to fight. She would not let the world erase her so easily. Because she had to live, she pushed through the undergrowth, the water now at her knees. A thick root hidden beneath the murky surface caught her foot. She went down with a cry, the impact knocking the air from her lungs. The world tilted. Cold, filthy water surged over her head, filling her mouth and nose. She thrashed, her arms flailing wildly, but the current was a giant and she was nothing. It had her now. It was dragging her, tumbling her over and over in the dark. No, not like this. Her lungs were on fire, Black spots danced in her vision, just as the fight began to drain out of her, as a strange, terrible peace started to settle in her limbs. Something caught her. It wasn't a log. It wasn't a rock. It was a hand. A hand so strong it felt like it was forged from steel. It wrapped around her arm, the grip absolute, and pulled. With a strength that felt impossible, she was hauled from the water's deadly embrace. She landed on a muddy bank, coughing, choking, spitting out water and bile. Her body shook with a violence she couldn't control. When she could finally breathe again, when she could finally push her wet hair from her eyes, she looked up, and the storm, the rain, the entire world. It all faded away. He was a shadow, a silhouette against the flashing lightning, a mountain of a man, his shoulders so broad they seemed to block out the sky. Water streamed from his dark hair and ran down the rugged lines of his face, but it was his eyes that held her. They glowed a faint amber light in the darkness. They were the eyes of a wolf, an alpha, and they were fixed on her with a raw, shocking intensity. He knelt beside her, his presence a shield against the storm's fury. The heat rolling off his body was a furnace, and she instinctively leaned toward it, desperate for warmth. He was a complete stranger, a rogue in the middle of a deadly flood. She should have been terrified. Instead, a different feeling, something ancient and wild, uncoiled deep inside her. A feeling of recognition. He didn't speak. He just watched her, his expression unreadable, his jaw tight. Then, slowly, as if it cost him a great deal, he reached out and brushed a wet leaf from her cheek. His touch was lightning. It was fire. And it left her skin tingling with a feeling she had never known, a feeling that was both terrifying and wonderful all at once. Who was he? What was this impossibly powerful being doing out here in the heart of the storm? The questions swirled in her mind, but she couldn't ask. She could only stare, caught in the gravity of the silent, powerful stranger who had just pulled her back from the very edge of death. Chapter 4. A Spark in the Embers. His touch was a brand. Even after he pulled his hand away, the place on her cheek where his fingers had grazed her skin buzzed with a strange electric heat. Arya stared up at the stranger, her breath caught somewhere in her throat. The storm raged around them, a symphony of chaos, but in the small circle of their shared space, there was a heavy, thrumming silence. He was so big, a solid presence of muscle and simmering power that made the world feel small. His amber eyes held hers, and she felt stripped bare, as if he could see every crack in her soul, every scar on her heart. Without a word, he shrugged off his heavy outer coat. It was made of thick, dark wolf fur, and it smelled of pine needles, wet earth, and something else. Something uniquely him. A scent that was wild, masculine, and dangerous. He leaned forward and draped the massive coat over her trembling shoulders. The moment the fur touched her, it happened. It was not a thought. It was not a feeling. It was a detonation. A bolt of pure energy shot down her spine, white hot and blinding. Her vision swam with images that weren't hers. A moonlit cliff, the taste of blood, the feel of wind in her fur, a deep, aching loneliness. A name echoed in the deepest part of her mind. Kale. The universe seemed to lurch on its axis and then slam back into place, locking them together. A bond, ancient and unbreakable, snapped into place with the force of a physical blow. Mate. The word was a scream in her soul, and her first feeling was terror. Pure, undiluted horror. She scrambled backward, pushing away from him, the heavy coat sliding from her shoulders into the mud. Her heart felt like it was trying to beat its way out of her chest. No. Oh no. Not again. The fates could not be this cruel. To give her this gift a second time, only to have it ripped away? To tie her to a rogue, a complete stranger who looked at her with the eyes of a predator? It was a joke. It had to be a sick, twisted joke. She wouldn't let it happen. She couldn't survive being broken like that again. Kale's face, which had been a mask of stone, now showed a crack, a flicker of disbelief, of shock. His glowing eyes widened as the same realization slammed into him. But his shock was different from her terror. It melted away into something else, something dark and possessive and absolute. He rose slowly to his full, intimidating height, looking down at her not as a rescuer, but as a king claiming his territory. The air crackled with his power, with his intent. He took a step toward her. A low growl rumbled in his chest, a sound that vibrated through the muddy ground and up into her bones. It wasn't a threat. It was a statement. A promise. You're mine. Chapter 5. The Weight of a Lie. The two words hung in the stormy air, more binding than any chain. Mine. Arya felt them wrap around her, suffocating her. Her terror gave way to a surge of wild, desperate fury. How dare he? How dare the universe? She wouldn't be his. She wouldn't be anyone's. To be claimed was to be owned, and to be owned was to be discarded. She had learned that lesson in the most public and painful way possible. Stay away from me, she shrieked, her voice thin against the wind. She pushed herself to her feet, her legs shaking so badly she could barely stand. This isn't real. It's a mistake. Kale's expression tightened, a flicker of genuine hurt crossing his features before it was buried under a scowl. The bond does not make mistakes. His voice was deep, rough, like stones grinding together. You feel it. I feel it. I feel nothing, she lied, the lie tasting like ash in her mouth, because she felt everything. She felt the pull toward him like the tide being pulled by the moon. She felt the echo of his loneliness inside her own. She felt the shocking, terrifying rightness of his presence. You're a rogue, a stranger. I want nothing to do with you. He took another step and she flinched back. He stopped, his hands clenching into fists at his sides. The storm is not safe. The floodwaters are still rising. You will die out here. He wasn't arguing about the bond anymore. He was stating a fact. His gaze was intense, unwavering, and it made her feel like a cornered animal. Because he was right, and that made her even angrier. She hated being weak. She hated needing anyone. I'll take my chances, she spat, turning to stumble away into the darkness. Where was she going? She had no idea. Anywhere but near him. Anywhere she could pretend the last 10 minutes hadn't happened. Anywhere she could be numb again. She didn't get more than a few steps. The adrenaline that had fueled her fury vanished, leaving behind a bone-deep exhaustion. The cold, the fear, the near drowning, and the violent shock of the mating bond. It all crashed down on her at once. Her head swam. The roaring of the storm faded to a dull buzz. Her knees buckled. The world dissolved into a swirl of black. She never hit the ground. Strong arms scooped her up, pulling her tight against a chest that was as hard and warm as solid rock. She was lifted effortlessly. Her head fell against his shoulder, her cheek pressing against the damp fabric of his shirt. His scent enveloped her, that wild, clean smell of pine and storm. It should have been alarming. Instead, her broken body betrayed her, relaxing into his hold, instinctively seeking his warmth and strength. She was too tired to fight, too weak to protest. A single, traitorous thought drifted through her mind before the darkness claimed her completely. He felt like home. Chapter 6. The Hunter's Moon Arya woke in pieces. First came the awareness of warmth, a gentle heat that soaked into her chilled bones. Then came the scent of wood smoke and something savory, like stew. Finally, the feel of a coarse wool blanket, heavy and comforting against her skin. She blinked her eyes open, her gaze slowly focusing on a ceiling of rough-hewn logs. A fire crackled softly in a stone hearth nearby, casting flickering orange light across the small one-room cabin. Panic tried to surface, but it was a dull, distant thing. She sat up, the blanket pooling around her waist, and looked around. She was in a simple bed in the corner of the room. Her own drenched clothes were hanging from a line strung near the fire, steaming gently. She was wearing a large, soft shirt that smelled faintly of him. The thought sent a jolt, not of fear, but of something confusingly intimate, through her. Where was he? The cabin door creaked open and he entered, carrying an armful of firewood. He moved with a quiet, deliberate grace that seemed at odds with his immense size. The storm had passed, and pale morning light filtered in through the doorway behind him, outlining his powerful frame. He stopped when he saw she was awake, his amber eyes locking onto hers. The intensity was still there, but it was banked now, like embers glowing under ash. For a long moment, neither of them spoke. The tension was a living thing in the small space. Arya clutched the blanket to her chest, her mind racing. She needed to leave. She needed to get back to her pack, back to her lonely but predictable life. But the man standing before her was a rogue, an unknown danger, and worse. He was her mate. He broke the silence. "There is stew," he said, his voice a low rumble. He nodded toward the hearth. "And water." He didn't move closer, just watched her, his expression guarded. He was giving her space, a gesture so unexpected it threw her off balance. She found her voice, though it was raspy. "Where am I? Who are you?" "You are safe," he answered, ignoring the second question entirely. "My name is Kale." Before she could press him, before she could demand more answers, a sound from outside cut through the morning quiet. A howl. It wasn't the lonely call of a single wolf. It was a chorus. A hunting party, their voices sharp and purposeful on the wind. Instantly, Kale transformed. The quiet, watchful man vanished, replaced by a predator. His body went tense, his eyes narrowed, and a low snarl escaped his lips. He moved to the single small window, his movement swift and silent, and peered out into the woods. "What is it?" Arya whispered, a new kind of fear creeping up her spine. Kale's jaw was a hard line of granite. He didn't look at her when he spoke, his gaze fixed on something she couldn't see. "They found me." Chapter 7. Scars Like Stories. "Stay down." Kyle's voice was a blade in the quiet cabin, sharp and deadly serious. He moved away from the window, melting back into the shadows of the room. The howling outside grew closer, the sound weaving through the trees, a net of sound closing in. Arya's heart hammered against her ribs. These weren't just wolves. They were hunters. And the prey they were tracking was the man who had saved her life. She slid from the bed, the rough blanket clutched in her fists, and crouched low, her eyes wide in the dim light. From her position on the floor, she watched Kale move. He was no longer the quiet stranger who had offered her stew. He was a warrior preparing for battle. He went to a loose floorboard beneath the bed and pulled out a worn leather satchel. As he straightened, his shirt, still damp from the storm, pulled tight across his back. And Arya saw them, the scars. His entire back was a canvas of violence, a tapestry of old wounds, silver lines against his tanned skin. Most were thin, faded marks of past fights. But one set made the breath catch in her throat. Four thick, parallel gouges ran from his right shoulder blade down to his left hip. They were deep, puckered, and brutally clear. They were claw marks, made by a wolf of unimaginable size and fury. They were not the marks of a battle. They looked like a punishment, an execution. A cold wave of something that felt strangely like pity washed over her. Who could do that to someone? What kind of monster would leave marks like that on another's flesh? The man in front of her was a rogue, a mystery, a danger. But he was also a survivor of something terrible. Her fear of the men outside was suddenly tangled with a confusing, unwelcome empathy for the man inside. Why did she suddenly want to know his story? The hunters' voices became clear, audible just beyond the cabin walls. "No sign of him here," one man said, his voice laced with frustration. "The Alpha King wants the cursed prince's head. Not excuses." Cursed Prince? The title was a shock, a puzzle piece that fit nowhere. Another man spoke, his tone colder. The tracks show he wasn't alone. A smaller set. A girl, maybe? If we find her, he'll come to us. The threat landed like a punch to the gut. It was no longer just about him. They were hunting her now, too. She was a liability. A weakness they could use to get to him. The men moved on, their voices fading back into the woods. The immediate danger had passed, but a far worse one had just taken its place. Kale turned from the window, his amber eyes finding hers in the gloom. The look on his face was grim, his jaw set like stone. "They know you're with me," he stated, his voice low and urgent. "We have to move, now." Chapter 8. A Primal Defense. The forest was a green and brown blur. Kyle moved through it with a speed and silence that was unnatural, a ghost slipping between the ancient trees. Arya did her best to keep up, her lungs burning, her legs aching. Every snapped twig, every rustle of leaves sent a fresh jolt of fear through her. They were being hunted. Because of him, she was being hunted. The thought was a bitter pill. She was running from strangers, but what was she running toward? A man who was a walking secret, a man the world called a cursed prince. He led them into a rocky clearing, a dead end with a high cliff wall on one side. "We'll rest here," he murmured, his eyes constantly scanning their surroundings. But they weren't alone. "Nowhere left to run, Your Highness," the voice dripped with mockery. Two shifters stepped out from behind the rocks, the same ones whose voices she had heard outside the cabin. They moved with an arrogant swagger, their eyes glinting with malice. One of them, a thick-set brute with a scarred lip, let his gaze drift over Arya, a greasy smile spreading across his face. "Found yourself a pretty little thing to keep you warm, did you?" Kyle stepped in front of her, a living shield. A low growl started deep in his chest, a sound that was more animal than man. "Leave. Now." The second hunter, leaner and quicker, just laughed. "The king wants you, Kale, dead or alive, but the girl, he didn't say anything about her." He took a menacing step toward them. That was the moment everything changed. The air around Kale seemed to crackle with raw, untamed power. The quiet man was gone, consumed by the primal alpha within. His amber eyes blazed, no longer human, but the glowing, feral eyes of a wolf. His lips peeled back from his teeth in a silent snarl. He didn't shift. He didn't have to. He moved like a blur, a streak of controlled fury that was too fast for the human eye to follow. The first hunter lunged, and Kale met him with a brutal efficiency that was terrifying to watch. There was the sickening crack of bone, and the man went down with a scream. The second one tried to get around him, his target clearly Arya. Kyle spun, his arm lashing out, catching the man across the chest with a blow that sent him flying backward into the cliff wall. The fight was over in seconds. It wasn't a fight. It was a dismantling. Kyle stood over the two groaning men, his chest heaving, the feral light in his eyes slowly, slowly receding. He had defended her. This violent, dangerous man had unleashed a storm of fury to keep her safe. The thought was both terrifying and moving. He turned back to her, and she saw a deep gash on his forearm, blood welling, dark and red. The predator was gone, and the quiet man was back. His voice was rough, laced with the aftermath of his rage. "Are you hurt?" Chapter 9. The Edge of a Kiss. The sound of the waterfall was a constant roar, a curtain of noise that hid them from the world. They'd found shelter in a shallow cave tucked behind the cascade of water, the air cool and damp. Light filtered through the crashing spray, painting shifting patterns on the stone walls. Arya knelt in front of Kyle, her hands surprisingly steady as she tore a strip of fabric from the hem of her tunic. His blood was warm against her fingers as she carefully wiped the edges of the gash on his arm. "You have to hold still," she murmured, her voice barely a whisper above the water's noise. He didn't answer, but he watched her, his gaze heavy and intense. The space between them was charged, filled with everything that had happened. The chase, the fight, the undeniable hum of the bond that connected them, a current that grew stronger with every passing moment. She was touching him, her fingers brushing against the hard, warm skin of his forearm. She could feel the coiled strength in his muscles, the heat of his body. Her heart was beating a slow, heavy rhythm. She was afraid of him. But she wasn't. Not anymore. "The scars on your back," she said, her eyes still on her task. "Who gave them to you?" A shadow passed over his face. He was silent for so long she thought he wouldn't answer. "An old debt," he finally rumbled, his voice tight. It was a lie, or at least not the whole truth. She could feel it, but she didn't push. Instead, she finished wrapping the makeshift bandage, her hands lingering on his arm for a second too long. He reached up with his other hand, his touch shockingly gentle as he tucked a stray piece of her hair behind her ear. His fingers brushed her cheek, and she leaned into the touch without thinking. His gaze softened, the last of the feral hardness melting away, replaced by a raw vulnerability that stole her breath. He was looking at her as if she were the only thing in the world. Slowly, he leaned in. His face was inches from hers now. She could feel his warm breath on her lips, see the flecks of gold in his amber eyes. Her own breath hitched. This was insane. He was a rogue, a fugitive, a man of violence and secrets. But in that moment, none of it mattered. All that mattered was the pull between them, the desperate, unspoken need. She didn't pull away. She wanted this. He was about to close the distance, his lips a hair's breadth from hers, when he froze. A look of pure, agonizing pain washed over his features. It was a look of self-hatred. He jerked back as if he'd been burned, turning his face away from her. His voice, when he spoke, was a harsh, broken whisper. "If you knew what I am, what I could do to you, you'd hate me." Before Aria could process the chilling words, another sound cut through the roar of the waterfall. It was distant, but unmistakable. Horns, the hunting horns of her own pack, the Black Moon Pack. They were searching for her, and she was here, hidden away with the cursed prince, the most wanted man in the territories, his blood still drying on her hands. Chapter 10, Branded a Traitor. The horns blared again, closer this time, a sound that Aria once associated with home and safety. Now it was a threat. She scrambled back from Kale, the intimate space between them shattering. Her pack was here. They were looking for her. But she wasn't the lost girl they expected to find. She was a girl who had survived a storm, who had been saved by a rogue, who had tended his wounds and almost kissed him. She was a girl with a dangerous secret humming in her blood. Kyle rose to his feet, his body a tense wall of muscle between her and the sound. "Aria," he said, his voice low and urgent. "You have to hide." But it was too late. Figures appeared at the edge of the waterfall, their dark forms silhouetted against the bright spray. They were warriors from the Black Moon Pack, and leading them, his handsome face twisted into a mask of righteous fury, was Liam, her ex-mate, the man who had broken her. "Aria!" Liam's voice cut through the roar of the water, his eyes locked on her, then flickered to Kale, and his expression curdled into pure hatred. "Get away from him! He's a rogue, a murderer!" The warriors fanned out, their hands already shifting, claws lengthening. They were ready for a fight. Aria's world tilted. This was her pack, her people. For years, she had craved their acceptance, their respect. She had lived in the shadow of Liam's rejection, dreaming of a day when they would see her as more than a broken thing. And now, here they were, ready to save her. But when she looked at Liam's face, she didn't see a savior. She saw the same casual cruelty, the same possessive arrogance as before. He wasn't here to save her. He was here to reclaim what he saw as pack property. "He saved my life," Arya heard herself say, her voice shaking but clear. She took a step, not toward Liam, but sideways, placing herself slightly behind Kale. It was a small movement, but it was a choice, a declaration. Liam's face darkened. "He's bewitched you. You are a traitor, Arya, consorting with this animal. The Alpha will have you exiled for this. Is he what you want? A life on the run with a cursed dog?" The words were meant to hurt, to shame her back into submission. And they did hurt. The sting of being called a traitor by her own people was a fresh wound on top of old scars. But then she looked at Kale. He stood silent, his gaze fixed on Liam, but she could feel the protective energy rolling off him in waves. He hadn't bewitched her. He had seen her. In the middle of the flood, he had seen her when she felt most invisible. He hadn't called her weak or broken. He had simply saved her. Why had he done that? Why risk himself for a stranger? Because the bond did not make mistakes. In that moment, she knew she could not go back. She could not return to a life of being invisible, of being pitied. Even if it meant a life on the run, a life of uncertainty, it was a life where she had been seen. "I am not going with you," she said, her voice stronger now. Liam's face contorted with rage. "Then you will die with him," he roared and lunged. Kyle met his charge with a roar of his own, a sound of pure, primal fury that shook the very stones of the cave. They crashed together, a whirlwind of claws and teeth. The other warriors moved to join the fray, but Kyle was a force of nature, a storm of violence that drove them back. He wasn't trying to kill them, Arya realized. He was creating an escape. "Go!" he yelled at her, throwing one of the warriors aside. "Into the water, now!" He created an opening, a path through the chaos. For a heartbeat, she hesitated. Then she turned and ran, plunging through the waterfall into the cold, rushing river beyond, the sounds of the fight echoing behind her. Chapter 11. The Poison of a Curse. She ran until her lungs burned and her legs felt like lead. The sounds of the fight faded behind her, replaced by the pounding of her own heart and the rushing of the river. She didn't know where she was going. She only knew she had to get away. Away from Liam, away from her pack, and in a surge of confusing terror, away from Kale. She had chosen him, but what did that even mean? She had tied her fate to a man she didn't know, a man with haunted eyes and a violent past. What had she done? She finally collapsed in a quiet grove of birch trees, her body shaking with reaction. She was an outcast, a traitor. Her old life was gone, burned to ash in that single moment of defiance. A sob tore from her throat, raw and painful. She had traded her cage for a wilderness, and she was terrified. Was this freedom? Or was it just a different kind of prison? "Tears won't help you, little mouse. Not when the wolves are circling." The voice was smooth, like dark honey, but it sent a chill down her spine. A man stepped out from behind the trees. He was tall and elegantly built, with silver hair that fell to his shoulders and eyes the color of a winter sky. He wore the fine leathers of an alpha, but he was not from her pack. He moved with a lazy, predatory grace, a cruel smile playing on his lips. "Who are you?" Arya demanded, scrambling to her feet. "I am Alpha Malachi," he said with a slight bow, "and I am a connoisseur of fine tragedies. Yours is shaping up to be a classic." He circled her slowly, his gaze analytical and cold. "You are the one, the fated mate of the cursed prince. Remarkable. I must admit I didn't think he had it in him to let the bond form." Arya's blood ran cold. "What are you talking about? What curse?" Malachi's smile widened. "Oh, he didn't tell you? How wonderfully noble of him." He stopped in front of her, his voice dropping to a conspiratorial whisper. "Kale is the heir to the Alpha King, the very man who scarred his back and cast him out. But his father gave him a parting gift, A little family magic, they call it the Blood Moon Curse. It ensures that any mate he bonds with will wither. The curse uses the mate's life force to amplify the alpha's own power. You, my dear, are his battery. And the bond will drain you dry until your heart simply stops. The world dissolved into a sickening roar. Every word was a hammer blow, shattering her reality. It all clicked into place with horrifying clarity. Kyle's hesitation, his self-loathing. If you knew what I am, what I could do to you, you'd hate me. He hadn't been afraid of his own identity. He had been afraid for her. The bond wasn't a connection. It was a weapon. It wasn't a gift of fate. It was a death sentence. Malachi watched her, his eyes gleaming with satisfaction. He was supposed to live alone, die alone. But fate, it seems, has a wicked sense of humor. He chose to save you, and in doing so, he has condemned you. Just then, a twig snapped behind them. Kale burst into the clearing, his face a mask of fury. His eyes were locked on Malachi, a murderous growl ripping from his throat. But Arya barely saw him. She saw only the truth of Malachi's words reflected in the agony on Kale's face. Her voice was a broken whisper. You knew. She took a stumbling step back, away from him, the bond between them now feeling like a vile, poisonous thing. You knew this would kill me. Chapter 12. A Kingdom of Exiles. Kyle's furious gaze snapped from Malachi to her, and the rage in his eyes was instantly extinguished, replaced by a look of raw, gut-wrenching despair. It was all the confirmation she needed. The silence was his confession. The agony etched on his face was his guilt. He had known all along. Every moment, every touch, every protective gesture had been a lie, hiding the terrible truth that her life was now the price of his. Arya, let me explain, he began, his voice rough with an emotion she couldn't name. Malachi let out a low, theatrical chuckle. Oh, this is better than I'd hoped. The great and tragic prince, caught between his duty and his doom. Don't you see, girl? He is the author of your tragedy. Malachi gave Kale a final mocking smirk. I'll leave you to it. The King's Hunters are not far behind, and neither are mine. With a final, chilling glance at Arya, he melted back into the shadows of the forest, leaving them alone in the wreckage of the truth. The air in the clearing was thick with betrayal. Arya felt a cold, hard anger rising up to replace the shock. It was a defense, a shield against the pain that threatened to tear her apart. Explain? She echoed, her voice shaking with fury. Explain what? That you saved me from drowning only to sentence me to a slower, more painful death? Did it feel good, Kale? To find the one person fated for you and know that your very existence would poison her? No! The word was torn from him, a raw cry of anguish. He took a step toward her, his hands held up in a gesture of surrender. That's not how it was. I never wanted this. Then why? She screamed, tears finally breaking free, hot and angry. Why didn't you just let me drown? It would have been kinder. Because I couldn't, he choked out, his own eyes shining with unshed tears. I have spent years, years running from this, from you. He raked a hand through his hair, his composure shattering. My father, the Alpha King, put this curse on me because he feared I would one day be stronger than him. He designed it to be the perfect prison. I could never have a pack, never have a family, never have a mate. I knew that one day fate would lead me to her, to you. So I exiled myself. I lived in the shadows. I stayed away from everyone. I became a ghost, and all to protect you, to keep you from ever having to bear this. His confession washed over her, and the anger began to falter, eroded by the sheer, devastating weight of his sacrifice. He hadn't been running from a fight. He had been running from her, for her. He had chosen a life of utter loneliness to spare her this exact pain, the storm, the flood. It hadn't been a coincidence. It was fate, cruel and relentless, forcing their paths to cross despite everything he had done to prevent it. "When I pulled you from the water," he continued, his voice cracking, "and the bond snapped, it was my worst nightmare come true. The one thing I had spent my entire life trying to prevent was happening, and I didn't know what to do. All I knew was that I had to keep you safe, even if it was from myself." She stood there, torn between a fury so deep it felt like it could burn the world down, and a wave of empathy so powerful it threatened to drown her. He had lied to her. He had hidden the most important truth, but he had done it all for her. Before she could find the words to respond, a new sound reached them, the baying of hounds and the distant shouts of men. Malachi hadn't been lying. The hunters were closing in. They were trapped, surrounded by enemies, with a cursed, fatal bond thrumming between them like a ticking clock. Chapter 13, A Kiss in the Ashes. The hunters were coming. Their shouts echoed through the trees, a tightening circle of death. Kyle stood before Arya, a guardian at the gates of her world, his body poised for a fight he couldn't win. The despair on his face was a mirror of the hopelessness she felt. After everything, after a lifetime of running to protect her, fate had cornered them both. "Run, Arya," he commanded, his voice a low, desperate rasp. "I will hold them off. Go east. Don't look back." He was offering her a chance. He was offering to trade his life for hers. Arya looked at this man, this cursed prince, who had spent his life in a lonely exile for a woman he'd never met. She saw the man who had pulled her from a flood, who had shielded her with his body, who had lied to her not out of malice, but out of a desperate, protective love. He was a stark contrast to the men who had abandoned her, who had rejected her. He wasn't trying to get rid of her. He was trying to save her. And in that moment, something inside her shifted. The fear, the betrayal, the anger. It all burned away, leaving behind a single terrifying clarity. "No." The word was quiet, but it was as solid as the mountains around them. "I'm not leaving you." His head snapped toward her, his eyes wide with disbelief. Before he could argue, the first of the hunters burst into the clearing. But it wasn't the king's men. It was her own pack. It was Liam, his face a mask of cold fury. "There they are," he snarled. "The traitor and the rogue." His warriors fanned out, their expressions grim and unforgiving. Liam pointed a finger at her, his voice ringing with absolute authority. "Arya of the Black Moon Pack, for the crime of treason, for abandoning your alpha and consorting with a known enemy. I sentence you to death." The words should have terrified her. Instead, a strange calm settled over her. She saw Liam not as her fated mate or a pack leader, but as a small, cruel boy playing at being king. He was using pack law to satisfy his own wounded pride. Just as Liam's men began to advance, Kyle acted. He let out a deafening roar that was not a challenge, but a warning. With a powerful shove, he sent a massive, precariously balanced boulder tumbling down the side of the ravine. It crashed into the trees below, the sound like a thunderclap, sending birds screaming into the sky. It was a massive diversion, a beacon that would draw every hunter, the king's, Malachi's, everyone's, right to this spot. He had just risked total exposure to save her from her own people. "Come on," he yelled, grabbing her hand. His touch was electric, the bond between them flaring to life. He pulled her along, away from the chaos of the rock slide, into a thicket of pines. Smoke from a sparked fire began to fill the air, thick and acrid. They found a moment's shelter behind a curtain of branches, the shouts of Liam's confused warriors echoing behind them. Panting, her heart hammering, Arya looked at Kyle. He had just condemned himself for her. Overwhelmed by a wave of feeling so powerful it stole her breath, she reached up, tangled her fingers in his hair, and pulled his mouth down to hers. The kiss wasn't soft. It was desperate. It was fierce. It tasted of smoke and ash and fear and a terrible, beautiful, doomed love. It was not a kiss of hope. It was a seal on their fate, a promise that if they were going to die, they were going to die together. Chapter 14, The Price of Trust. They ran with the kiss still burning on their lips. The bond, once a source of confusion and terror, was now a roaring fire between them, a silent conversation of shared desperation and newfound loyalty. They were no longer just a rogue and an outcast. They were a unit, two halves of a whole, running against the world. The curse was still there, a cold shadow in the back of Arya's mind, but the warmth of Kale's hand in hers held it at bay. For now. "We need to hide," Kale said, his voice low as they paused to catch their breath. "Somewhere they won't think to look." An image flashed in Arya's mind. A memory from a different life, a lifetime ago. A place of bittersweet ghosts. "I know a place," she said, her voice barely a whisper. "An old hunter's cabin. My father. He showed it to me once. It's been abandoned for years. It's hidden deep in the bluffs. It was a risk to trust a memory tied to so much pain, but it was the only thing she had to offer." Kale looked at her, saw the certainty in her eyes, and nodded. "Lead the way." They found it near dusk, tucked into the side of a cliff, almost completely overgrown with ivy. It was small, dusty, and perfect. For the first time in days, they were safe. Or so they thought. As night fell, they sat before the small, hesitant fire Kale had built, the first real moment of peace they'd had. The walls of the cabin seemed to hold out the rest of the world. Here, there was no curse, no hunters, no betrayal. There was only him and her. "Arya," Kale started, his voice soft, full of a pain that tore at her heart. "About the curse. I should have told you. You were trying to protect me," she whispered, reaching out to touch his hand. "I know." He turned his hand over, his fingers lacing with hers. He opened his mouth to say more, to finally close the distance between them with words instead of desperation. Crash! The cabin door flew off its hinges, slamming against the far wall. Figures poured into the tiny space, armed and armored. Arya's blood ran cold when she saw their silver emblems. They were Malakai's warriors, and leading them, a smug, triumphant look on his face, was Liam. The betrayal was a physical blow, so stunning it knocked the air from her lungs. Liam, her former mate, the man from her pack, had led their enemies right to them. He had sold them out. It wasn't just pack justice anymore. This was personal. This was pure, petty vengeance. The old wound, the one that whispered, "You are not worth loyalty," ripped wide open, raw and bleeding. Malakai himself stepped through the broken doorway, his cruel smile gleaming in the firelight. "Excellent work, Liam," the silver-haired Alpha purred. "I knew you wouldn't disappoint." He gestured to his men, his gaze falling on Kale with hungry satisfaction. "The king will pay handsomely for his son, and the girl, she's a delightful bonus." Before they could even react, they were seized. Kale fought with the strength of a cornered lion, but there were too many. They were overwhelmed, subdued, their hands bound tight behind their backs. Arya watched in horror as Liam looked at her, his eyes cold and empty of any feeling. He had done this. He had handed her over to a monster. As they were dragged out of the cabin and into the cold, dark night, Arya knew that some wounds could never heal. Chapter 15. The Beast Unchained. The camp was a nightmare of firelight and shadows. Malakai's warriors were efficient, brutal. They chained Kale to a massive oak tree, the thick iron links pulled so tight he could barely move. They threw Arya to the ground and chained her to another tree just a few yards away, close enough to see, close enough to feel his agony, far enough that she couldn't reach him. The cold metal of the chains bit into her wrists, a grim echo of the invisible shackles of the curse. She could feel it now, the curse, like a slow, creeping poison in her veins. With the bond fully acknowledged by their kiss, it had taken root. A wave of dizziness washed over her, a profound weakness that had nothing to do with their capture. She was getting weaker. Malachi strode into the space between them, a silver dagger glinting in his hand. He looked at Kale, his eyes alight with a mad curiosity. "It's fascinating," he said, his voice conversational. "I can almost feel it. Her life force, flowing into you. You must be getting stronger even as she fades. Magnificent, isn't it? The perfect weapon." He then turned his chilling smile on Arya. "Tell me, my dear, does it hurt?" Kale strained against his chains, his muscles bulging, his voice a low, murderous growl. "Leave her alone, Malachi." "Or what?" Malachi taunted, walking over to Arya. He crouched down, grabbing a fistful of her hair and yanking her head back. He pressed the cold, flat side of the dagger against her throat. "You are helpless, Kyle. A king without a kingdom. A beast in a cage. And I have your little mate." Arya watched Kale, her heart shattering. She saw the war in his eyes. The desperate man was fighting against the cursed prince. She could feel his power thrumming through the bond, a wild, chaotic energy looking for a release. He knew he couldn't break the chains. Not as he was. But to save her, he needed more power, and there was only one place to get it. She felt his decision through the bond before she saw it. A silent, agonizing apology. A terrible resolve. He closed his eyes, and he pulled. The sensation was sickening. It felt like her very soul was being siphoned out of her. A wave of weakness so profound, so absolute, crashed over her, and her vision grayed out. She let out a weak cry as she felt her own life force being drawn through the bond, feeding him, fueling him. At the same time, Kale screamed. It was not a sound of pain, but of transformation. A roar of pure, untamed power. The iron chains around him glowed red hot and then exploded outward. Malachi scrambled back, his eyes wide with shock and fear. But the man who stood there was not Kale. He was a monster. The shift was incomplete, a horrific hybrid of man and beast. He was bigger than any wolf she had ever seen, his body covered in patches of coarse black fur. His spine was hunched, his claws elongated and sharp as daggers. Black, pulsing veins stood out on his skin and his eyes. His eyes were no longer amber. They were solid, burning pits of red, glowing with the raw, uncontrollable power of the curse. The man was gone. And the beast, terrifying and magnificent, was unchained. Chapter 16. The Taste of Ash. The beast Kale had become was a whirlwind of death. He moved through Malachi's warriors not like a fighter, but like a force of nature, a hurricane of black fur and red-hot rage. The sounds were sickening. The snap of bone, the tearing of flesh, the terrified screams that were cut short. Arya watched, frozen, a strange duality warring within her. She was horrified by the raw, uncontrolled violence. This was the curse made manifest, a monster fueled by her own life force. Yet a fierce, protective part of her soul thrilled at the sight of his power. This was what it meant to have a protector. This was the strength of an alpha. The beast dispatched the last of the warriors and turned its burning red eyes on the one who had caused all of this, Malachi. The silver-haired alpha was no longer smug. His face was pale with terror as he scrambled backward, tripping over the roots of a tree. The beast stalked toward him, claws digging deep gouges in the earth, a low, guttural snarl promising a painful, bloody end. This was it. This was the moment Kale would become a murderer. A monster beyond redemption. "Kale!" Arya's voice was a raw, desperate cry torn from her throat. She pushed herself up, her body weak and trembling. "Kale, stop!" Her voice cut through the haze of his cursed rage. The beast froze, its claws inches from Malachi's throat. Its massive head turned slowly, those burning red eyes fixing on her. For a long, terrifying moment, she thought it might turn on her next. But then, a flicker, a glimmer of amber within the red. The man was still in there. He was fighting, The monstrous features began to tremble, the snarl turning into a sound of agony. He looked down at his own claws, slick with blood, as if seeing them for the first time. He looked at the carnage he had wrought. He looked at her, and the red light in his eyes finally receded, leaving behind an ocean of pure, soul-shattering self-loathing. Using the moment of hesitation, Malachi scrambled to his feet and fled, disappearing into the darkness like the coward he was. Kale didn't seem to notice. He stumbled back, the monstrous aspects of his form melting away, leaving him looking terribly human and broken. He was covered in blood that wasn't his body shaking with the aftershocks of the beast's rage. He looked at her, and his expression was more painful than any physical blow. "Look at what I am," he whispered, his voice hoarse and full of disgust. He took another step back, away from her, as if she were the fire and he had been burned. "Look at what I did to you. What I took from you." The memory of him pulling her life force was a sickening phantom between them. He was rejecting her, not with cruelty like Liam, but with a final, heartbreaking act of protection. "Stay away from me, Arya," he said, his voice cracking. He turned his back on her, a gesture of absolute finality. "Better you hate me and live than love me and die." And then he was gone, swallowed by the forest, leaving her alone in a field of slaughter, the taste of ash in her mouth and her heart broken into a million irreparable pieces. Chapter 17, A Serpent's Promise Alone. The word had never felt so cold, so absolute. Kale was gone. He had left her. The bond, which had blazed so brightly, was now a dull, aching throb in her chest, a constant reminder of his absence and his rejection. The curse was a quiet poison in her blood, making her limbs feel heavy, her thoughts slow. She stumbled through the woods, directionless, hopeless. What was she supposed to do now? Go back to her pack, who had branded her a traitor? Run from the hunters who now saw her as bait? Every path led to a dead end. She sank to the ground at the base of a tree, wrapping her arms around herself, trying to fight off the chill that had nothing to do with the night air. She was so tired of fighting, of running, of feeling. "Arya." The voice made her flinch. She looked up to see Liam stepping out of the shadows. His usual arrogance was gone. In its place was a look of shame, of regret. He looked haggard, his clothes torn from the fight at the waterfall. He approached her slowly, his hands held up in a gesture of peace. "I'm so sorry," he said, his voice quiet and seemingly sincere. "I was a fool. I saw what that thing became. I heard what Malachi said about a curse. I never knew. I was just trying to protect the pack." Arya stared at him, her heart a numb, painful lump in her chest. She wanted to hate him, to scream at him for his betrayal. But she was too empty, too exhausted. He knelt in front of her, his eyes pleading. "Malachi forced my hand, Arya. He threatened to attack our territory if I didn't help him find Kale. I was trying to prevent a war." His words were smooth, plausible. They were designed to find the cracks in her resolve. "But when I saw what he did, I realized I made a terrible mistake. I should have trusted you." He reached out, his hand hesitating before gently touching her arm. "Let me fix this. Let me make it right. I can protect you. I can get you away from all this. I can save you." His promise was a serpent, whispering of an easy way out. A way to stop fighting. A way to be safe. Kyle had pushed her away. Her pack wanted her dead. She was completely, utterly alone. A small, broken part of her, the part that still remembered the girl she used to be, wanted to believe him, wanted to be saved. Because she was so tired of saving herself, she made a fatal mistake. "Okay," she whispered, the word tasting like surrender. A flicker of something, triumph, flashed in his eyes. But it was gone so quickly, she thought she might have imagined it. He helped her to her feet, his touch gentle. "I know a place," he said, his voice soothing. a safe haven. Come with me. He led her through the woods, his arm around her shoulders in a gesture of false comfort. He spoke of forgiveness, of second chances, of a future where things could be right again. And like a fool, she let herself believe. He led her into a clearing, and the first thing she saw was the silver gleam of Malachi's armor. The second thing she saw was Kale, captured again, chained and bleeding. Malachi stepped forward, a smug reptilian smile spreading across his face. He patted Liam on the shoulder. See? I told you she'd be easy to manipulate. All broken things are. Chapter 18. The Truth in Chains. The cage door slammed shut, the sound of the iron bolt sliding home a death knell for Arya's last flickering ember of hope. The betrayal was so complete, so absolute, it left her hollow. Liam hadn't just lied to her. He had dissected her deepest wounds and used them as a weapon against her. He had seen her at her weakest and twisted the knife. She was a pawn, a thing to be used. From her cage, she had a clear view of the center of the camp. Kale was chained to a thick wooden post, his head bowed in exhaustion. He'd been beaten, fresh cuts and bruises marring his skin. The chains that held him were different this time. They glowed with a faint, sickly silver light, an enchantment designed to sap a shifter's strength. He looked defeated. Malachi approached her cage, his pale eyes gleaming with triumph. "Don't look so glum, little mouse," he purred. "You are a key player in a historic moment." He gestured grandly around the camp. "The Alpha King is on his way. He has accepted my invitation to witness his son's final moments. I will execute the cursed prince myself with this." He produced a dagger with a wicked, serrated silver blade. "The king gets his justice, I get the glory, and our packs form a powerful new alliance." "And me?" Arya asked, her voice a dead, flat whisper. Malachi's smile was chilling. "You? I will take you. A mate bonded to a dead alpha. Your power is an untapped resource. I'm quite curious to see how I might harness it." His words were meant to terrify her. But as she looked past him, her eyes found Kale's. He had lifted his head and he was looking right at her. His face was a mask of agony, not for his own fate, but for hers. And in his amber eyes, she saw it all. She didn't see the beast. She didn't see the curse. She saw the man who had lived a life of lonely exile to protect a woman he'd never met. She saw the alpha who had unleashed a monster to save her from his enemies. She saw the mate who had pushed her away because he loved her too much to watch her die. In that single silent exchange, the world fell into focus. Her entire life, she had been so afraid. Afraid of being abandoned. Afraid of being rejected. Afraid of the curse. Afraid of dying. But that wasn't the real terror, was it? The true horror, the fear that had been buried in her soul since the day her father walked away, was the fear of dying unloved. The fear of being worthless, of not being enough. And looking at Kale, chained and beaten and willing to die for her, she knew, with a certainty that shook her to her very core, that she was loved, fiercely, completely, absolutely. Suddenly, the curse didn't matter. The chains didn't matter. Death itself didn't matter, because she would not die alone. The knowledge didn't just heal the old wound, it cauterized it, leaving behind a scar of pure, unbreakable strength. Malachi raised his hand, the silver dagger flashing in the firelight. "Let the king's justice be done," he proclaimed to his assembled warriors. As he turned to give the final order, Arya gripped the iron bars of her cage. She took a deep breath, and from the depths of her newfound strength, she screamed. Her voice was not a plea for mercy. It was a roar of defiance, a declaration of power she never knew she possessed. "No, he is mine. I am his mate, and he is my alpha." Chapter 19. A Queen's Claim. Silence. Arya's defiant claim echoed in the stunned quiet of the camp, a single note of pure power cutting through the tension. Every warrior, Malachi's and Liam's alike, stared at her as if seeing her for the first time. She was no longer a victim in a cage. She was a force. Malachi, his silver dagger still raised, looked from her to Kale, a flicker of genuine uncertainty crossing his face. He had planned for a broken prince and a terrified girl. He was not prepared for a queen. Her words were more than just a shout. They were an anchor, a declaration sent searing through the mate bond. She wasn't just accepting the bond. She was fueling it. She poured all of her love, her defiance, her fierce, unwavering choice into it. It was not a passive surrender to fate. It was an active gift of her own free will. "I am yours," the power screamed down the link between them. "And you are mine." Kale felt it. A tremor went through his chained body. He threw his head back and roared, but the sound was different now. It was not the mindless rage of the cursed beast. It was the full-throated, soul-shaking roar of an alpha answering the call of his Luna. A surge of power, Arya's power, met his own. The silver chains that held him began to smoke, sizzling against his skin as he fought against their magic with a strength that was suddenly doubled. In that moment of chaos, a new sound split the night air. A war horn, deep and resonant, answered by a chorus of battle cries from the surrounding forest. Figures erupted from the trees, moving with the disciplined fury of true warriors. They were huge, grizzled shifters clad in scarred leather armor bearing the emblem of a snarling silver wolf. They crashed into Malachi's disorganized camp like a tidal wave. "For the Silver Guard!" one of them bellowed, a giant of a man with a gray-streaked beard as he cut down two of Malachi's men. "For the true Alpha!" These were Kale's people, the loyal pack he had left behind. The camp exploded into a raging battle. In the confusion, the gray-bearded warrior, his beta, rushed to Kale, a massive axe shattering the enchanted chains. The moment he was free, Kale ignored the battle raging around him. His world had narrowed to one person. He launched himself toward her cage, his eyes blazing with a clear, sane amber light. He grabbed the iron bars of the door and, with a guttural roar, ripped the entire thing from its hinges and threw it aside. He stood there, panting, his chest heaving. The beast was gone, his features entirely human, his power now a controlled, thrumming aura around him. He was whole. Her acceptance, her claim, had stabilized him. He reached for her, his hands gentle as they cupped her face. His voice was filled with a raw, trembling awe. "You claimed me." "I chose you," she whispered back, her hand covering his. And in the heart of the raging battle, surrounded by the chaos of their world falling apart, they were the calm in the eye of the storm. Chapter 20. The Last Sunset. The fighting was over as quickly as it had begun. Malachi, Liam, and the remnants of their forces had scattered into the night, leaving the Silver Guard in control of the blood-soaked clearing. Kale was reunited with his people, a grim but powerful reunion filled with clasped arms and low murmurs of loyalty. Their leader, the gray-bearded beta named Torvin, explained that they had been tracking Kale for months, hoping to convince him to return. Arya's powerful claim had been the beacon that finally guided them home, but their relief was short-lived. A scout returned with grim news. "The Alpha King's army is marching. They will be here by dawn." They were in a defensible position, a rocky basin with limited points of entry, but they were a small, weary pack against a veritable army. Kale immediately called a war council. They gathered around a fire, the faces of his most trusted warriors grim in the flickering light. Arya stood beside him, not behind him. "The main approach is through the Northern Pass," one warrior said. "It's a bottleneck. But his forces are too great. They'll overwhelm us." "What about the Eastern Ridge?" Arya asked, her voice quiet but clear. Every head turned to her. "When I was a girl, my father used to hunt here. There's a network of small caves and unstable rock formations. A small group could trigger a rock slide, close the pass entirely, or at least slow them down." The warriors looked at Kale, uncertain. He looked down at Arya, a flicker of pride in his eyes. "She's right," he said, his voice ringing with authority. "Torvin, you take 10 wolves and set the traps. We will force them into the valley and fight them on our terms. He looked around the circle, his gaze landing on each of his warriors. He was their alpha, their prince, their king. And she was his Luna. As the pack dispersed to make their preparations, Kale pulled her away from the firelight toward the edge of the basin where they could watch the last light of the sun bleed across the horizon. The sky was painted in shades of orange and blood red. A beautiful, terrible last sunset. Thank you, he said softly, his hand finding hers in the growing dark. Not for the plan, for choosing me, for not seeing a monster. You were never the monster in my story, she whispered, her heart aching. The curse was still there, a faint cold drain she could feel in the marrow of her bones. This love was killing her, and they both knew it. This perfect, quiet moment might be their last. He gently touched the bandage on his arm, the one she had made for him. He looked at her, his amber eyes full of a universe of love and sorrow. I don't know what tomorrow brings, Arya. I don't know if we'll survive. But tonight you are not a curse. You are my blessing. He leaned down and kissed her, and this time, there was no desperation. There was no smoke, no ash, no fear. It was a kiss of profound, heartbreaking tenderness. A kiss that tasted of goodbyes and forever. A final, perfect moment of peace before they faced the dawn and the war that it would bring. Chapter 21. To Face the Dawn. Dawn broke cold and gray, leaching the color from the world. The small camp was a hive of quiet, purposeful activity. The air was thick with the scent of pine and cold steel, and the only sounds were the soft clink of armor being buckled and the whisper of blades being sharpened against whetstones. There was no fear in the faces of the Silver Guard warriors. There was only a grim, unwavering resolve. They were a pack forged in exile, loyal to their rightful alpha, and they would not break. Arya felt the chill deep in her bones. The curse was a more noticeable presence now, a faint but constant weariness that she had to actively fight against. She hid it well, her expression as calm and determined as any of the warriors around her, but she knew her time was running short. Every heartbeat felt precious, a grain of sand slipping through an hourglass. Kale stood on a rocky outcrop, overlooking his small army. He wasn't wearing the armor of a prince, just the worn leathers of a warrior. He began to speak, his voice calm and clear, carrying easily in the crisp morning air. Brothers, sisters of the Silver Guard, he began. For years we have lived in the shadows, exiles, because we refuse to bow to a tyrant. Today, that tyrant comes for us. He comes with an army, expecting to crush a small band of rogues. He paused, his amber eyes sweeping over his pack. He is not coming for rogues. He is coming for a pack. He is coming for a family. He is coming for the true heart of the North. He did not offer them false hope of an easy victory. He did not promise they would all survive. Look around you, he said, his voice growing stronger. Look at the wolf standing beside you. We fight for our freedom. We fight for our future. We fight for a world where we are not ruled by fear. His gaze found Arya, and he held it. We fight for what matters most. A unified roar erupted from the warriors, a sound so powerful it seemed to shake the very mountains. They raised their weapons as one, their loyalty a tangible, unshakable force. Just then, a scout appeared at the edge of the camp, breathing hard. They're here, he announced, his voice tight. The Alpha King's army is at the edge of the valley. The moment had come. All the running, all the hiding was over. Kyle came down from the rock, his face set. He walked straight to Arya, the crowd of warriors parting for him silently. He didn't say a word. He didn't need to. He simply held out his hand. Arya looked at his outstretched hand, then up at his face. She saw her past, her present, and her terrifyingly short future all reflected in his eyes. She placed her hand in his. His fingers laced through hers, strong and warm, a silent vow that whatever came next, they would face it as one, Together, Alpha and Luna, they turned and walked to the front of their small, defiant army. Hand in hand, they stood on the precipice, watching as a tide of enemy soldiers began to pour into the valley below. The final showdown was about to begin. Chapter 22. A Shield of Scars. The battle was a symphony of chaos. The small Silver Guard pack fought with the ferocity of wolves defending their home, using the valley's terrain to their advantage. But the Alpha King's army was a relentless tide of bodies and blades. Arya fought alongside them, armed not with a sword, but with a desperate, clever courage. She moved through the fighting like a ghost, creating distractions, leading enemies into traps, doing anything she could to give her pack an edge. With every exertion, she felt the curse quicken its pace, the weakness in her limbs becoming a heavy, insistent drag. Then she saw him, the Alpha King, a giant of a shifter, his hair as dark as Kale's, but his eyes holding a cruel, empty light. He cut through his own men with no regard, his path a straight, murderous line toward his son. The final confrontation had arrived. Father and son met in the center of the battlefield with a crash of force that seemed to make the very air shudder. It was a brutal, personal war, a clash of identical strength fueled by a lifetime of hatred on one side and righteous fury on the other. Kale fought for his people, for his future, for her. The king fought only for his crown. Kale was faster, but the king was a mountain of raw, unforgiving power. He landed a vicious blow, his claws tearing a deep gash in Kale's side. Kale staggered back, his breath hissing through his teeth, a momentary opening in his defense. It was all the Alpha King needed. He lunged, his own claws extended, aiming for his son's exposed heart. Time seemed to slow. Arya saw the killing blow coming. She saw Kale, wounded and off balance. She saw the face of the tyrant who had caused all their suffering, and she felt the pure, unwavering certainty of her love. Without a second thought, she moved. She threw herself between them, her body a desperate, living shield. The king's claws, meant for his son, ripped into her back instead. Pain exploded through her, white-hot, absolute, and blinding. She screamed, not just in agony, but in defiance. The moment her blood was spilled for him, the moment she made the ultimate sacrifice, a brilliant, blindingly pure golden light erupted from her chest. From the bond. It was not a weapon of anger, but an unstoppable wave of pure, selfless love. It slammed into the Alpha King, who recoiled as if he'd been struck by lightning, his curse-filled soul unable to comprehend such a force. The magic of the curse, a thing born of selfish hate, shattered against the shield of her sacrifice. It imploded. Arya felt the cold, poisonous chains dissolve from her soul. At the same time, Kale felt the weight he had carried his entire life vanish. He was free. He looked down at Arya as she collapsed, her blood staining the earth, a faint, beautiful smile on her lips. The bond was no longer a weapon. It was a clean, pure channel between them. But as he caught her falling body, a new and more terrible fear seized him. The curse was broken, but his mate was dying. Chapter 23. The Weight of a Kingdom. A roar of pure, untainted alpha power tore from Kale's throat. It was a sound of grief, of rage, of a king who had just found his entire world only to watch it burn. His father, thrown back and stunned by the blast of pure magic, was vulnerable. Kale rose to his full height, no longer a cursed prince, but a king in his own right, his amber eyes blazing with golden light. He met his father's final, desperate charge not with matching brutality, but with a precise, overwhelming strength. He didn't kill the tyrant. He broke him. He shattered his claws, his authority, his will to rule, leaving him a defeated old wolf on a battlefield he had lost. The king's army, seeing their leader broken, faltered and surrendered. The battle was over. Kale didn't spare a glance for his victory. His world had narrowed to the woman lying so terribly still in the dirt. He rushed to her side, gathering her into his arms. She was so pale, her breathing a shallow, ragged whisper. The wounds on her back were deep and mortal. "Arya," he choked out, his voice breaking. "No, please, don't leave me." He who had spent his life running, his life pushing others away, was now begging her to stay. The pack's elderly healer hurried to his side, her face grim as she examined the wounds. "The claws were poisoned with silver, Alpha," she murmured, her voice full of sorrow. "The damage is too great. I can't stop it." Kyle's face crumpled in despair. After everything, he was going to lose her. "But the bond can," the healer added, her eyes locking on his. "The curse is broken. The bond is pure now. Your strength can be her strength. Your life can be her life. If you are truly one, you can save her." Hope, fierce and desperate, flared in Kael's chest. He looked down at Arya's face, so peaceful and so fragile. The bond, the thing he had feared for so long, the thing he believed was her death sentence, was now her only chance. He lowered his head, pressing his forehead against hers, a silent prayer on his lips. He closed his eyes and reached for the pure, untainted Alpha power that now resided in his soul. Then, with every ounce of his will, every fiber of his love, he poured it into her through the bond. It was not a taking, like the curse had been. It was a giving, a transfusion of life itself. He felt his own strength drain away, a willing sacrifice to pull her back from the brink. A warm, golden light enveloped them both, pulsing with the steady rhythm of a shared heart. As the darkness threatened to claim her, Arya's last sensation was the feeling of his life force flowing into her, a warm, loving tide pulling her away from the cold, empty shore of death. Chapter 24, Where the Wild Roses Bloom. Arya awoke to the scent of sunshine and clean linen. The world returned to her slowly, not in a rush, but as a gentle, welcome guest. She was lying in the most comfortable bed she had ever known, the sheets cool and soft against her skin. Sunlight streamed through a tall, arched window, illuminating dust motes dancing in the air. Her back ached, but it was a distant, healing throb, a reminder of a battle that was already fading into memory. She was alive. She turned her head on the soft pillow and saw him. Kael was asleep in a chair pulled close to her bed, his head resting on his folded arms. Even in sleep, his hand clutched hers, a warm, possessive anchor. The lines of torment that had been carved into his face for so long were gone, smoothed away, leaving him looking younger, more peaceful than she had ever seen him. She felt the bond between them, no longer a source of fear or pain, but a calm, steady warmth in her soul. A quiet, constant hum that sang a song of pure love. There was no poison. There was no shadow. There was only him. At the slight movement of her fingers, his head lifted, his amber eyes fluttering open. They were cloudy with sleep for a moment. Then they focused on her, and a look of such profound, earth-shattering relief washed over his face that it made her heart ache with joy. "Arya," he breathed, his voice thick with emotion. He was at her bedside in an instant, his hands so gentle as he touched her cheek, her hair, as if to reassure himself she was real. "You're awake." He told her everything. Weeks had passed. She had been hovering between life and death, and he had never left her side, constantly feeding his own strength into her through their bond. He was now the undisputed Alpha King, uniting the Silver Guard with what remained of his father's army. The old tyrant, along with a captured Malachi and a sniveling Liam, were locked away in the deepest dungeon. He had been ruling a kingdom, but all he had truly been doing was waiting for his queen to wake up. When she was strong enough to stand, he lifted her from the bed as if she weighed nothing and carried her out onto a wide stone balcony. The air was fresh and sweet. Below them, a vast kingdom stretched out, green and peaceful under the afternoon sun. He had brought her not to a dark fortress, but to a sun-drenched castle on a mountaintop. And in the gardens directly below, blooming in a riot of joyful color, were acres and acres of wild roses. He held her close, his arms a circle of safety and strength around her. "My brave mate," he whispered into her hair, his voice vibrating with love. "My fearless Luna, my queen." Arya looked out at the peaceful kingdom, at the roses blooming below, and leaned back against her mate, her king, The man who had been saved by the alpha stranger who was always, always meant to be hers. She, who had started her story as the rejected, the broken, the girl not worth staying for, was home.